Ever wondered if you're really cut out for leadership? Does doubt and anxiety occasionally fill your thoughts when making critical decisions? If that is you, make sure to stay tuned because my guest and I are going to dive into this even deeper. Welcome, 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 and welcome to the Adventure of an Entrepreneur, the podcast that dives deep into the world of entrepreneurship. We're going to be hearing the stories from entrepreneurs from all over the world in different industries. They're going to be sharing with us the stories of how they faced setbacks, walked through fire, climbed mountains to reach success. I'm your host, Sri Mahabir. So my guest is the founder of Excite Excellence, executive coach, consultant, and dentist. Her name is Dr. Jacinta Lemonet, and she will be sharing her journey with us. I'm so excited to be having you on. So let me ask you, if you were not doing this show, what would you be doing on this Saturday?
Absolutely. So first, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of the conversation and to provide value to our audience. I would be actually spending some time on my social media platforms, reaching out to individuals just to see how I can help and probably planning for content for the upcoming week.
So you sound like me who would be, well, let me stop and say, I would still be in the bed and I would be on social media and then maybe I'll go watch some Ugly Betty. So I would like to know from you guys, what is it that you do on your Saturdays? So if you're listening on the podcast or you're watching the replay or even just now, just share, what would you be doing on a Saturday? So Dr. Jacinta, before you became a consultant, executive coach, what were you doing?
Sure. So I was actually practicing as a general dentist and I still practice now. But that is where I started my career. Initially, I did not want to go into the field of dentistry, actually. I was planning on being a forensic DNA analyst and trying to work for the FBI. And so I found public health and learned more about dentistry, and that's how I got into the dental profession. So that's what I was doing before, but I found that, you know, over my 20 years of experience working as a C-suite and as a manager, that there's a gap between the communication skills of professional women in terms of them being executives. And so I wanted to be able to bridge that gap. As many of us know, women really started entering into the workforce in the 1970s. And so we're just getting into that phase where we're starting to see us in more of those executive positions. So I want to close that gap and be able to help as many professional women as I can set up the rest of the generations to come to be executives.
So let me ask you, now you brought up that you wanted to do forensics. Okay. So were you influenced by like the CSI and the Law and Order to get into this, or it was more just your passion to find answers to questions?
So it really was my passion to find answers to questions. I know I'm dating myself a bit, but I was interested in forensics before CSI actually started. So I've watched The Forensic Files and shows like that, and crime TV, court TV. I think it's court TV at the time. I don't know what it's called now, but yes, I just wanted to get answers. And that's something that has just went with me along the years. And the same thing for my clients. I want to get answers and try to help them as best as they can so that they can accelerate their professional growth.
And because you're not dating yourself. I mean, I'm even dating myself because I loved like watching those Scooby-Doo. I mean, I wanted
right.
to know who watched Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was I my did. Friend. And Sherlock Holmes. And
right.
I forget who was the elderly woman. And she had the
Murder, She Wrote. Angela
Murder,
Lansbury.
She Wrote. I love
yes,
that
Yes, I know. Me too. Me too.
So don't worry. If you are dating yourself, go ahead and share with us, what are the shows that you like to watch? What, when it comes to crime and drama, please share in the comments or in a review if you're listening to the podcast. Okay, we're going to come back because, you know, we could digress. But I wanted, you brought up about, you know, the gap and filling a role, leadership. So truly, when you go back, there was an aha moment in your life where you said, you know what, I want to make a difference. I want to help others. If you could share, what was that aha moment for you?
Sure. So really great question. Aha moment for me was when I worked as a manager and I noticed that there were a lot of individuals that were working underneath me at the time or reporting up to me. They had a lot of potential. They had the willingness, they had the drive to do more. But I noticed that the do more was very vague. There wasn't a specific plan or a specific roadmap to help them do more. And these are individuals that we would say now would be your emerging leaders or individuals who are wanting to be executives or wanting to be managers or fulfill those senior leadership roles, but they just didn't have a clear path to do it. They kept working hard and being promoted, but it was just hard for them to really get those skills in place to actually move forward into those higher level positions. So for me, that was an aha moment because I felt sad because I know these individuals could be in those type of leadership roles. And then I just decided that I can use my expertise, my experience that I've had, the good and the things that didn't work out well, and be able to provide them with more of a roadmap to help them be able to communicate in such a way that they can present themselves as executives, even though they may not be in that role just yet.
So I find that, you know, we still say do more in the workplace. I read a lot. I haven't been in corporate America in like 2 years. Well, coming on three after I got laid off. So for me, when I read even a previous client I had, they had that same feeling that what is do more? And so when we are working with emerging leaders and all of you, because emerging leaders are leaders like I'm a leader of my team, I own my own business, but there are others who are working for someone. So when someone says do more, how do you help your clients really understand do more? And how do you help them not say do more for their teams? If you get, does that make sense?
Yes. So I would say the do more, especially if you're being told or kind of thinking you need to do more, I believe we need to figure out what does do more mean. And when we think about individuals being exceptional leaders, particularly females, but really in general speaking, there's a couple characteristics that I think are really important when you're thinking about do more to kind of get something in place as a roadmap of maybe traits to work on and develop. Confidence is something that's very important. I would also recommend to really start focusing in on their executive communication skills, because those are really important as it relates to trying to do more and having at least something to work on. Executive presence is important. Time management is critical, because when you're becoming that exceptional person that actually does more, you can't really do more unless you're managing your time really, really well to give you that ability to do more. So that's another thing I would recommend to work on. And then also being able to be humble and have a sense of humility. That's important as a leader, because we all have things that are going on and vying for our attention. But as we elevate, we have to elevate others. And that sense of humility is critically important as a leader. And then also having just the ability to discern. I've noticed a lot of people, when they're in that position and they start to gain that momentum of doing more, accelerating, developing themselves, sometimes discernment can go by the wayside, and it makes it a bit more challenging for them to really know, should I do this? Should I not do this? Even when you're being told different things from other individuals. So those are just some tips I would recommend in terms of doing more, to have specific traits that you can actually start working on today and researching and finding out more information about to do more in that particular role.
You really dived into this, and I hope that anybody who's listening in, watching the live, watching the replay, the podcast, it's helping you. If you have questions and you're just not comfortable asking during the live, please reach out to Dr. Jacinta, tell her that you saw her on this show or you heard her on the podcast. That way she knows where you're coming from. And you know what? We need to open this type of conversation. And another one that I really want to talk about is that women, yes, we are out there working on the work in the workforce, leading teams, but when we decide to step back and lead our families, I find mm-hmm. that a lot of times women actually look down on the mothers who stay home, but I actually encourage it because I think that is the power. Look, being a mom and leading your children is a, it's a such, it takes a lot. And let me tell you, these kids, they will, they will test your patience. But I wanted to ask, you know, because you brought up discernment, because people talk so much. Mm-hmm. How do you coach the mom who stay-at-home mom, but leading her family? And what words of advice do you give to her when someone's like, you need to do more?
Absolutely. So that's really, really a great question. And there's a video on my YouTube channel that talks about how to judge people better. So that's something I'd recommend for the viewers to take a look at, because there are certain things you can do to judge people better. Now, what I would say to that mom who is trying to lead family and manage other things too, is there's an analogy I use. So if anyone has ever flown on a plane, on the plane, they tell you what? Before the plane takes off, they say, you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on everybody else. And I know as a mom, it is difficult to do that sometimes. But when I've found that in order for us to really, truly be present, we do have to take care of ourselves. And a lot of times we just don't do that. I mean, we're so busy being the caregivers and taking care of everybody else, we forget about ourselves. And that in itself can make just things really stressful, because we feel like there's not a balance. We don't have those boundaries set up. So taking care of yourself is the first thing I would recommend. And then just really understanding what boundaries need to be set for your household. Of course, you have your kids, they're running around doing their own thing, but there's different tasks that they can do depending on their age that may be able to give you a little bit of time to sit down just for maybe 2 minutes. Because that's probably all that you might have, and just relax for just a little bit. So that's what I would recommend for moms, is really take care of yourself. Find that time for self-care. Think about your schedule. And from a coaching perspective, I would ask, what is your ideal life balance that you'd like to have? And reverse engineer that. So if self-care is important as it should be, what does self-care mean to you? That's something I would actually ask a client as a coach, and let them determine how they want to structure their lives so that they're able to get that balance and still be able to lead their family and take care of themselves.
Thank you for that. And we'll dive a little bit, but I want to say hello to Kevin and Janie for stopping by. You know, I want to give a shout out to both of them, because Janie always talks about live streaming, whether it's live streaming on LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. She is the person to go to. And then Kevin is so good in writing copy for emails. He's helping me. I know he's awesome. Helped others. So I just want to give the shout out to them, because they said hello, but also, you know, we want to say hello. Give them a say thank you. But I wanted you to Absolutely. Say, you brought up really good points. We, even if we as females are leaders in our house, we still have opportunity to grow. And mm-hmm. we should also understand, just because we were home does not mean that we can't be leaders for the PTA club or right. our children's, whether they're in the Boy Scout or Girl Scout, or if they decide, you know, like, there's so many ways that you can have a leadership role and still not lose what you have. Yes. So I wanted to get into, you know, when it comes to making decisions, and I know for some, now we're learning how to make confident decisions, mm-hmm. doubt, anxiety, because some decisions are really, really hard to make, especially if it's like during a time of layoffs. Right. It's not easy. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Elon Musk or you mm-hmm. are me, laying off people is hard. And that's a hard decision, but I just wanted to give an example of like a very hard, tough decision. But the question I have for you is, you know, how do you walk, you know, could you kindly walk us through when you help your clients, when they feel that anxiety or doubt rise when it comes to making a decision, which is difficult?
Sure. So it is a skill that, unfortunately, in our educational settings, there's not a book, you know, for us to just read and say, this is what you should do if this situation comes up. It's not there, unfortunately. So what I do with my clients is I really dive into the words. I'm really big about definitions. So when we think about doubt and anxiety, what comes up for that? When I looked at the Oxford Languages Dictionary for those words, it literally has the consensus of uncertainty. There's something that you don't know. There's some outcome you're not sure about. You just don't know. And so with my clients, what I do is we focus on the things that we do know. And so when you're trying to make those critical decisions, my first go-to for clients is to get data. You need to get data. You need to get information as much as you can and know who it is that you actually need to speak with to get that information. Because in order to make those really critical decisions, regardless of if it's in the workplace, if it's at home, or it's in some other type of setting, you have to be able to know some information. And you make the best decision that you can with the information that you have. If the decision is great, then fantastic. It worked out well. If the decision happens to maybe not go as well as you'd like for it to, that's okay. You made the decision with the information that you had at that time. And so that's really what I work with my clients on, is finding out, what do you need to do? Who do you need to speak with to get as much data as you can so you can make those critical decisions? And once you make it, stick with your decision and continue to move forward and learn from it.
I love that you said that, because decision-making isn't easy for anybody, but what you are saying is you've got to get comfortable no exactly. matter what happens. Like, there are things that I have made a decision in, and even my agency, when I decided we're going to focus on working with medical, dental, and law practices, it came with a lot of questions. It came with a lot of, are you sure? But this is what I said. This is where I know I have this calling, and look at who we're working with. So yes, you're going to get questioned. Mm-hmm. You're going to get maybe even ridiculed.
Exactly.
But stand confident. And, you know, this isn't an easy, nothing's easy, but the hard is where we grow. That's what I've learned. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, what's something common when you're working with clients, or something you've even seen that is hard that people run away from when it comes to leadership?
The biggest thing by far that I've noticed is confidence. Confidence to me, just because I've worked with a lot of clients and I've even experienced this myself, you know, many years ago, it is the foundation in leadership. You know, as an entrepreneur, as a leadership of a PTA, as you mentioned, or just in the workforce. So confidence is something I see people, they shy away from it, but not consciously though. It really is something deep within them. Something that's happened, or maybe somebody says something unkind to them. It could have been when they were a child or many years ago, that they are still lingering just in the back of their mind somewhere. And it comes up as an adult. And so that's really what I see people kind of shy away from, is their confidence. I mean, one of the first things I hear people say is that, oh, I'm not able to do this, or I'm not ready to be an executive. I'm not ready to be a leader. I'm not ready to be in this role. So from a coaching standpoint, I'm asking, why not? What makes you feel that way? What are some things that can help you not feel that way? So that's something I see people kind of shy away from. And I think sometimes also, along with confidence, we start to not truly value our self-worth. I see that come up a lot in negotiations. There's a certain aspect of thinking highly of ourselves without being arrogant that a lot of people just don't have. And that actually can help build up your confidence. So from a coaching standpoint, I would recommend to think about, what are some of the things that you've accomplished that you're very proud of? And keep those at the forefront of your mind all the time, so that it can actually help you build up your confidence to know you've actually done this before and that you can actually do it again. And so that is pretty much what I've seen and some things that I've done with my clients to try to help them not feel that way.
Oh, you brought up a really good point. Arrogance and confidence. And
Yes.
I know for some, it's like, is there is a difference between arrogance and confidence. But I would love for you to explain to us what have you noticed or what is the difference between arrogance and confidence? Because I know sometimes my confidence can be arrogance to someone else, but it's only because we have in our minds, we think that this is arrogance and this is confidence.
Right. So that's a good point because there is a really fine balance between those two. And the difference to me would be one of those characteristics I mentioned at the very beginning that helps someone to become an exceptional leader is humility. You can be confident and show your confidence and people see your confidence, but if you come across as, well, I know this, you know nothing type of mindset, then that's where it becomes the line of arrogance. Because regardless of how confident we are, we still have information and things to learn. No one has the same experience on this entire earth. And so there's something that we can learn from everybody. And so I believe with having that mindset of knowing that, yes, I'm confident in what I'm do, what I can actually do. However, there's someone that may have a different perspective that I can learn from. That helps to separate confidence from arrogance.
Oh, like you said it. You could be doing, look, I've been doing live streaming for 4 years. I'm always learning something new. Janie always teaches me something new. Garen Bulini always teaches me something new. Other people who I watch teach me something new because there's Cher Jones. There's like so many out there, even Juma Bannister. These are individuals I know and I love watching from them and learning from them because. I know what I know, like you said, but there's so much more that I could learn. And
Right.
that's what I, if you have that open mind and heart to receive, you can. And we'll, come back to, somebody said something. We all have that in our lives where, as a leader, you're going to have people who just hate you, who just don't like
Yes.
you.
Yes.
So, how can you get past that? Because I know there's a lot of us who complain about, oh, let me talk about this person, but you you
Right.
can't let that get to you. So for the leader who's getting a lot of hate, what do you suggest?
Wow. I
Not
would
hate, but maybe
say,
just strong opposition.
well, it could be that too. So I would say, guess what? I've been in that situation, Sheree. I'm sure you have faced that also at some point in your career. So this is something that we have all experienced. When you have a situation like that, to me, there's something that you are doing right. And a lot of times it can be really easy to focus on the negative. This person don't like me. This person doesn't like me. They give me a hard time. But really, what is it that you are doing that is absolutely amazing that is making people not like you? Think
Oh.
about it. Because there is something that's there. There's something that people see in you that they wish they had within themselves, and they don't. And because they don't, they tend to act in the jealous, mean person type of way. So that would be something that has helped me along my journey is to know that ultimately, I feel sorry for people if they feel that way because that means that there's something that I have or I'm doing that they wish that they could have or they could do. Now, does that mean to be arrogant about it? Absolutely not. Continue to do what you're doing. If you have to, on a consistent basis, interact with those type of people, be polite, still keep things professional. Conversations should be very direct, but taking care of business, taking care of whatever the issue is at hand. And then just distance yourself from those individuals. So if you're having a meeting and you know there's someone there that particularly doesn't like you, interact, say hello, be pleasant. Meeting's over, you're out. You're leaving. You're going about your business to take care of other things. That has actually helped me because I faced that throughout my career. And especially, I've noticed that you experience that a lot more the higher that you climb in your professional role. People don't really talk about that.░ but it is true. And so it's something, as we think about being leaders, there's a lot of things that go with it. And there's the bright side of everything, but then there's also the side that is the real side of it in terms of what you actually experience. So I hope that will be helpful for someone that is dealing with people that are being unpleasant, maybe, you know, being jealous with them in their settings.
Ooh, it is. And it gets you to think, like, what are, you know, I personally listen to some stuff to help me disengage from the feelings and the emotions, because a lot of times those who are coming from a place of hate or anger, you don't know what they're going through. True. Right. Because we don't know what's happening when someone leaves this, like if you, especially leaders and your team are going home, we don't know what they're really facing. And right. So I would, you know, I ask you as a leader, like, what are ways that we can do? Because we sometimes don't know what's going on. We just see they're always late or they're just being so difficult to work with. How do you handle, because especially if it's someone that has to directly report to you, mm-hmm. what are ways that we could find out what's going on with them so that they don't have to like you, but at least you're on the same page of what's going on with them?
Really great point. And this is so timely because there's so many things that go on in the workplace with those specific type of situations that you alluded to. And so one of the things that I've done that I found has been successful for myself and for my clients, when you have that relationship in a work setting where you just know something's not quite right, is to bring the person in and just have an open-ended conversation. I think the very best question you can ask someone in a setting like that is, how are things going for you? And just stay silent and just let them talk. They may tell you, you know what? My house just flooded last week and my insurance company is just being difficult and it's stressing me out, stressing my family out, and whatever else may be going on. So I think just coming from a place of genuine sincerity as to what is going on with someone, that is a great way to at least maybe see where they're coming from. And if they're very short with you and they don't really want to say too much, then that's fine. You still made that effort to show that you are the bigger person and that you actually genuinely do care about what's going on and that you really want to try to foster a good business relationship.
And that is true. Like sometimes they don't want to talk and we need mm-hmm. to keep that door open because one day they may hit a wall that they need right. to talk to someone and you might be that someone. So before we leave, how can we connect with you, work with you? Tell us all of it.
Okay, sure. So just really glad to be here and really appreciate everyone for joining. Thank you so much for spending time on your Saturday morning when you could be doing so many other things and to spend some time with Sheree and I. So we're just really excited about that. And so I am available on LinkedIn. Definitely follow me there and on Instagram as well. And so some of the services I offer are really focusing in on executive communication skills, executive presence, confidence, public speaking, and salary negotiations and interview preparation. So if any of those type of topics have some interest to you, reach out to me at info@exciteexcellence.org, or you can message me on LinkedIn or on Instagram also. I have some different unique ways to help build up your communication skills. I do focus on female leaders and established executives, so just keep that in mind. And you're welcome to ask me any questions. I have a YouTube channel also where I provide some additional insights as well. And really to get additional resources, you're welcome to sign up for my mailing list. It is on my homepage at info@exciteexcellence.org. It's at the bottom of the page where you can sign up for different resources and events and know what's going on within my business before the rest of the crowd does.
And there you have it. I've also dropped the links here on LinkedIn. And if you are watching anywhere else, you will have the links. And if you're especially listening to the podcast, the links will be there as well. I want to say thank you to everybody who joined in on the conversation. Thank you, Dr. Jacinta, for all that you shared. And I just want to say that on the 18th of this month. It's a celebration. It is 4 years of the show going live. My life has changed going live and has, you know, I would not be here today without many of you. And even I would not have ever met even Dr. Jacinta for not taking that chance to say yes to go live. And so I'm inviting you for that celebration. So until then, have a wonderful day, weekend. If you have questions for either one of us, you know how to find us. So take care, everybody, and bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you found it very helpful, share it with a friend, share it in your social media. Until the next time.